Today we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about where things are going after this. And you know what after this means. This whole pandemic, this whole enormous shift that's going on right now in our society, in the world. And I know some of us are still barely even thinking about that because, you know, look at me right now. I literally have a bathrobe on, and I said to myself on a Saturday morning, well, I think I'm going to record some podcasts because it feels right. And I can do that because I'm home. And there's no place else I can be this weekend. And there's not much else I can do except clean all the bathrooms in the house. And I'm frankly putting that off. So maybe you're like me. And you're still hunkered down and hiding out. Maybe you're also like me, though, that you're thinking, what's August looking like? What's September? What's December? When does this end? What will happen? What's going to be different? So here you are between these two poles of getting by, taking care of weird things now that need to be just taken care of because we're in the house all the time, and also letting yourself dream and wondering when everybody steps back out of their houses, what will the new shape, what will the new configuration be like? So come on a journey with me in today's episode, where we're going to be discussing what the new life could look like, what could change, how it could change, how it could change in surprising and gorgeous ways. So stick with me for episode 630, Glimmers of Light in the Post-Pandemic Era.
It's a show where we talk about the power of your mind
to change your world around you,
to literally affect
the fabric of your reality.
We talk about this feeling of hope
and joy
and relief. And that is what being aware of your flow does. It gives you a feeling of power again in your lives. I'm Summer McStravick, and welcome to another episode of Flow Dreaming.
All right, so you're ready? Now, this is not the normal Flow Dreaming show, and I'm just going to tell you guys right up. For a while, I'm going to be going off script, going off normal Flow Dreaming themes. Of course, everything I say comes from a space of make our lives better. Make your life better, grow, right? Expand, be fuller, bigger, healthier, stronger, more in touch, more in tune. But I feel like going off in a new direction. And, you know, I've been toying with the idea of starting a whole new secondary show just to talk about things like this. But frankly, I haven't done it yet. So you guys are going to have to listen to it in this show. At least for a little while. So this show's topic is sort of similar to maybe the last episode or two, where I've been talking about what's happening to us. How do we navigate this? How can I feel better? How can I feel empowered? Well, I'm going to talk to you right now about things you can look forward to. Now, not all of these things, obviously, will actually happen. But here is the magical moment in this. They actually could happen. For the first time in history, worldwide, but especially here in the U.S., these things could happen. And we're seeing evidence of some of these things that were incredible impossibilities until just 3 weeks ago. They're happening. That is so exciting to me because it means that when the big shift tapers down, we are going to demand that some of these things stay, that we get to keep some of these things, that we all come to a collective understanding that these things were long overdue. So I'm going to share some of these with you. And real quick before I jump in, because this is going to be like a little listicle. You know what a listicle is? Well, I know it's an interesting new term, isn't it? It's been around a while, but it's a reference to all those articles that you see on the internet where it says 5 ways to, you know, comb your dog or 8 ways to brush your teeth differently. Listicles. It's just a list of little bullet points, little blurbs of ideas. But before we jump into this, I do want to tell all of you that if you have already got the Powerful Immunity and Protection playlist, awesome. I really hope you're using it every day. If you haven't, please, please go to flowdreaming.com, look for it. It's a special playlist I created to support your body health, your mind health, and your energetic health through this time. You can play one of these flow dreams, you know, every other day. Just play one. You know, as you go, so your family follows. So please keep your mind, keep your body healthy and strong. This is a brand new playlist. I made it just for you guys. Again, it's at flowdreaming.com, or you can get it through the app. And one more little piece, because I don't want to forget to say this, and sometimes I get so involved in our episodes that I completely forget to tell you the things that I've written down that I have to share. The other one is that starting in May, I know another big deal for us is about recovering, economically recovering. And I want us to get started ahead of the curve, essentially. So we're going to be doing a special series in May, focusing on cash flow recovery. It's based on my Money Flow program. Some of you remember Money Flow. I brought it out about 3 years ago. I actually haven't been offering it since then. It was a kind of one-time thing. But I'm going to be re-bringing it out and retooling it to fit this new climate, this new world. And you're going to begin to see it for sale, for you to get via the website again, flowdreaming.com. Just go there. You should see it right off the bat. If not, just be sure you're on my mailing list and I'll send you information. We're going to be doing it over the course of 4 weeks. It will involve live classes with me every week. The objective is to get you economically strong on the road to recovery, get those jobs back, get the cash flow happening again, and how we're going to do it energetically, physically, etc., in this new economy. Because if you're not doing this already, you're going to be behind the ball. So if you're interested, Money Flow, if you already got the old program, I will have something for you. I will be retooling it so that you can sort of come back in at a discounted price. And if you're brand new, then you can and should get the whole package, because that's what we're all going to be utilizing. So please look forward to that. I can't wait to start doing that with some of you in May. Okay, thank you guys for letting me share those two things with you. Again, everything that I give to you, make for you, create via flowdreaming.com goes to support and underwrite this podcast, which, as you know, doesn't and really never has had any kind of other commercials, right? Never selling you mattresses here. Okay. Glimmers of light. Here's a list of things from the pretty deep and thoughtful to pretty lighthearted and silly, but there are things that I think I'm really looking forward to, and you can too. First one falls in the silly but not so silly category. I wasn't joking that I'm sitting here still in my bathrobe. It's a Saturday morning, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm not putting on work clothes, right? No one's going to see me. There's no Zoom cameras turned on me today. I'm not going out of the house other than to the mailbox or maybe for a quick jog up and down my street. So I think, well, I could put on my yoga clothes, right? So yoga clothes have become our default house clothes for many of us in our modern era. The reason being because they're stretchy and they're comfortable. And frankly, you can spill crap all over them and throw them in the wash and it doesn't matter. You're not so worried about them. Remember in the 1950s, the 1960s, our grandparents, our moms, maybe you, and everybody had house clothes, right? They had those stretchy nylon pants with the elastic waistbands. They had those awesome polyester shirts that were easy clean. You just threw them in the washer and dryer, popped them out, no wrinkle, They didn't hardly absorb anything. You could spill salad dressing all down your front. It would all come out in the wash. And they had these wonderful house coats that you could throw on. What was the house coat for? Well, in case you still didn't have your stuff together. Well, you could throw on a house coat and answer the door and everybody just say, oh, you're in your house coat. You look presentable. I am so looking forward to a return of real house clothes. Like real house clothes. I don't know what they're going to look like. I have a feeling they're going to be based on yoga outfits because a lot of us are used to those, right? The workout clothes that you wear all day long or that you throw on to go to the grocery store even though you have no intention of working out. Well, where are house clothes going to go next? Honest to God, if I was going to do anything, I'd probably start a company selling house clothes. In fact, in my family, we've had a version of them for a long time, right? My kids have these soft shorts and they're all cotton and cotton t-shirts. And I say, look, throw these on. You can wear them all day long. You can wear them outside. You can wear them to bed. They're comfortable. This came about because my son has sensory processing disorder, right? SPD. Some of you guys know that. So I began looking early on, how do I find clothes that just feel really good? No tags, no seams. What do I find? And I realized, damn, I want some of these too. And now my daughter has her own set of house clothes. And my husband, he's wearing his track pants. It's athleisure. But the thing is, let's move it away from athleisure. Let's move it into something like, hey, you got your house clothes on. I know you're not going to the gym in those track pants. So what do they look like instead? I'm really looking forward to finding out. I know that was kind of long, but you can tell I'm really excited about that one. That's why it was number one on my list. Number two, treating American healthcare as if it were a natural resource worth preserving and supporting. And I don't mean just American healthcare, I mean all healthcare. But you know, in America, it's particularly broken, and it has been for a long time. Now what we're seeing is when you let something get so broken that you have undervalued, that you've just left to the markets to decide who gets it and who doesn't, right? Cobbled together, patchwork, stitchwork together. And now we're recognizing it's not just people who aren't getting healthcare, but the actual doctors and the nurses and the people who need stuff. And their hospitals are saying, we don't have the money for it. And we've been operating on this, you know, capital profit-making efficiency, and we can't do it. What we're starting to realize is that healthcare is a national resource. National resource. You know what? We have a park service because it's a national resource, right? We at one point recognized, oh my God, our parks are necessary. We need them. We need these landmarks. We need these places that we value it for our American psyche, for our kids' vacations, just for who we are. We have our military. It's a national resource. Can you imagine if the military was just all cobbled together? No, you know, central thing. It was just like, oh, every state for themselves. And, you know, maybe we'll have to buy guns from all different places and stuff and make up programs. Are you kidding? It's a national resource. Ditto, we have a postal service, right? Because everybody needs to get mail. The government has to be able to send you a social security check. Everybody has to get mail. It's been necessary since the government was founded way back in the 1700s. What about education? We consider educating children to be a national resource for the health of our country. We recognize if it's uneven, if it's messed up, if it's not coordinated, if not every kid can get an education, and we'd be leaving out hundreds of thousands, millions of kids. Well, look. It's what we've been doing with our healthcare. And now what we're recognizing is all those people who don't have it, who can't get it, the doctors, the nurses, the hospitals who go out of business, all of these people have created a gaping hole that has left us incredibly vulnerable. And the vulnerability means when you're under attack, we have no defense. We don't. So treating healthcare like a natural resource means that, one, everybody gets healthcare. And while I hesitate to say free, I might even just go there. Because I send my kids to public school. Yes, I pay for it through my property taxes and through my income taxes, but essentially it's free. They don't send me a bill every month. We're not all paying wildly different prices to get wildly different levels of education. We still have a private option. I could send my kids to a private school, but my public schools are pretty darn good. I want that for us all. I want you to have your eyes in your eyeglasses, your be able to go to the dentist and get your teeth cleaned. I want you to be able to have mental health and reproductive health care. I'd love to see pharmaceuticals no longer reigning as kings who get to decide who they're going to sell to and how much they're going to sell it for and what is the best profit that they can make off this at the expense of you and me. What if you had 50% of your monthly healthcare expenses no longer going out the door and it was coming back into you and you had it now to what? Pay some debt off with, pay your mortgage with, put it in savings? Do you know with how much that would fuel the economy to shift it from going into pharmaceuticals and other people's pockets who don't need it, deserve it, already doing fine and plenty, back in yours? What if we treated American healthcare as if it were a natural resource worth preserving at all costs? What if we threw it into that category? Wow, can you imagine how protected we would be when something like this comes around again? Told you that's a big one, but let's start thinking like, what if this is possible? What if we actually can do it? Because look what's happened now that we haven't. People always say it's too expensive. Do you know how much money we just injected into the economy to keep it from collapsing? Which it looks like it's already kind of, you know, hurt. What if we had put that all into you and me and us way early on? You pay it now or you pay it later. Next one, easier accessible testing. I'm really looking forward to this. I love this idea of driving up and getting tests. I love this idea that someone's going to mail me a box now that I can pick up in my mailbox. I can spit in a tube. I can mail it in. And they'll tell me in a day or a week, hey, you have antibodies to corona. You've already gotten it. Awesome. I can't wait for that to happen. And we can make that happen. We can ask for that to happen. Ditto for all kinds of other illnesses. Easy, accessible testing. Wouldn't that be awesome? You don't have to sign up for a big doctor visit and go into the office and slough around and take a half a day off work. Wow, things just changed. To make it easier for us all to be healthier and no more quicker and faster. Let's prioritize that. Game on. Right? Teladoc, you guys heard of that? No longer a pricey add-on. I know as a corporation that Teladoc used to be something you had to pay extra for if you wanted to allow your employees to be able to call up a doctor instead of go in. You'd think that everybody would want this. Works in your favor, right? Well, no, that was an additional more money for it. Not anymore. Suddenly, all the insurance companies are saying, it's yours, it's free, encourage your people to use it. Don't send them into the office sick and coughing. Things like that. Easier access. Access from home. Things coming to you. Gosh, how is that going to free up you and your time and make us safer? Speaking of safer, here's another beautiful thing that we can create right now. I am looking forward to people starting to talk about a safety net for all of us. I'm not joking, and I've mentioned this before. What if there was some new system where everyone could afford to not pay bills or work for 6 months? Right? 6 months. Kind of like what's happening to us all, and they're giving us stimulus checks and paycheck protection programs, et cetera, et cetera. But what if there was just a kind of thing already there? So if everybody went down at the same time, cool, we've got you. We thought about this, right? NASA spends time wondering what to do if a meteor hits the Earth. Why are we thinking about that? But sudden massive unemployment we haven't thought about? Let's get ourselves ready. And it may not be sudden massive unemployment. It may be that 6 months where, you know, you have an illness or you're caregiving someone at the end of life. We sort of have it now with maternity leave, but that's really it, and that's very limited, and that's not everywhere. It's sort of like bankruptcy, but you don't get penalized for it. Everybody just knows that there might be once or twice in your lifetime where you're going to need this. And when you do, you've got it. Can you imagine what you would be breathing the sigh of the biggest relief right now? And this is so doable. I mean, it's not a big deal to ask for, right? Maybe a business or government or insurance company that can start a plan like this. You know, it's like my kids have a college tuition plan. All right, California sponsors it. Almost all states have this. I contribute a little bit every month. It grows tax-free. And when I need it, I can pull it out. There you go. What if there is something like this for all of us, knowing, you know, it's not just when you die, you get money like life insurance plans. How about when you're alive and you need it? What if that became a thing and everyone said, don't you have your 6-month plan? Don't you have your 6-month plan? So awesome. It would give us so much more ability to feel flexible, to feel like we have options, to be able to pivot, to be able to take that time off without stress and anxiety. Speaking of which, more savings. I love this. And I can see going forward into this 21st century, we all realized before that we needed an emergency fund. But now it becomes something that is part of our national psyche. Oh, remember COVID? Yeah, I do. Well, thank God I had that emergency fund. I was able to pay my rent. I was able to buy those groceries. I was able to pay those doctor bills. Thank God. Maybe it'll become something that becomes part of our national psyche. Like if you don't have an emergency fund, your family's going to be like incredulous. Be like, what? What? It'd be like if you said, I never, you know, buy food at home. I only eat from restaurants. Your family'd say, what? How do you do that? It would seem strange. So what will it take to get that? What will it take for us as a nation to get our savings rates way, way up? The same way it's done in other countries that have much higher savings rates and much more stability, ability to weather the tide. Well, what if you personally decide I'm going to go without fast food, cola, and getting my hair done for a whole year? I'm going to get my first $3,000 in there. Speaking of which, it's not just on you, right? It's not about how you can scrimp more. I know you've been scrimping enough. A lot of it is that we've all started to become used to living in this razor-sharp income world, where it's become okay just to have enough to get by each month. And no one's complaining about it. And companies are taking advantage of it. And they're giving more and more money to their upper management and their shareholders because everyone just is grateful to have any job at all and get by. And so that 2% pay raise is like a norm. And it's been like that for the last 10 years. What this means is that we've been balancing on a razor's edge with wages that have given us no chance to save. I would love that to become incredibly out of fashion. I would love to see companies start to say, oh no, we give you a chance to save. We give you enough that you have it left over. And those become the companies that we all love, admire, purchase from, go to. And if they don't do that, we look at them like, you're cheap and wrong, and we don't like you, and we don't do that to our people. Pretty awesome, huh? So these ideas, I know right now they're sounding like a liberal wet dream, and I get it. But that's what a lot of liberal thinking really is at heart. It's a check on the it's only about me culture. Me, me, what can I get? And instead, it's about all of us culture. It's about us. It's about you having savings. It's about my neighbor having healthcare. It's about my kids, you know, having a chance to go to college and be able to buy a home, and your kids. Because I recognize that if we do this, we create a really strong social fabric. And we're not letting people fall through the cracks every day. To me, that's vital. Because if you're healthy, it helps me be healthy. And I think what we're seeing right now is a really stark example of this. Your health and your actions right now are completely impacting me. It completely impacting your parents, your children, your friends, the teachers, your choices, having a very direct impact on them, on your grocery store workers. We're seeing that. And we're understanding maybe we ought to think about how we can do things differently so that it's not just about me, but it's about all of us. And that's kind of where this list comes from. And, you know, it comes from this space in me and deep in my heart because as somebody who practices flow dreaming and working in non-physical, I'm always talking about how we are so interconnected. When I say that we're interconnected non-physically, that there's a flow of energy and life and time that moves and breathes through us all, I don't mean we're all in these tiny little individual trajectories that never interlap or overlap. No, we are constantly overlapping, sharing, shifting. And we do that physically too. And we do that in our social institutions. And so when you see people who have everything and people who have very, very little, you ask yourself, how can I let that be? How can I let them suffer? How can I blame that on just them? Maybe it's not just them. Maybe it's something much bigger that needs to be fixed in a much bigger way. So let's move on. Here's another one that's kind of fun, but silly, but fun, but important. More masks. I know, you guys, we have this crazy reaction to masks here in the U.S. So, you know, my daughter is in her fifth year of studying Japanese. So we decided we'd support her a couple years ago by doing a family trip to Japan. And then last year she went on a school trip. And every time we've gone, yeah, everybody there is wearing masks. I mean, just you walk down a street and maybe 10% of people have a mask on. And, you know, because we're not used to it, our reaction is to step aside on the sidewalk and look at them like, ooh, something must be really terribly wrong with you. But we just have that reaction because here in the U.S., the only time we see people wearing masks is in a hospital setting, right? Or on Grey's Anatomy. Like, you only wear masks if you're really concerned about disease. So to see people wearing them commonly, we want to stay away from them. But that can and should shift. People in Asia are wearing masks because if you have a sore throat or, you know, you're just feeling a little under the weather, you wear a mask so that when you're hanging out with your friends and family, you're not breathing that all over them. You're doing it as a kind of courtesy for others. It's considered polite and considerate. If you're wearing a mask, people don't step away from you. They acknowledge you with a sense of, thank you. Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate you. You're a thoughtful, decent human. Wouldn't that be cool? Let's start wearing more masks. Here's another one, education. Well, okay, what do you guys think about this? A lot of us are home and we're working from our computers. Maybe your kids are trying to do online schooling right now. Maybe your job has said, can you please check in remotely? And you are sitting here and you're like, God, when will this webpage ever load? And you're realizing, why do I have such crummy internet? What? Why? And why is it so expensive for what I'm getting? And sure, they said that I live in this town where my good internet won't be coming for another 2 years. Wait a second. Why am I putting up with this? Imagine if you didn't get electricity the same way that, you know, someone more in the center of town did, and they got full electricity all day, anytime they wanted it. They could, you know, turn on the heat, they could, you know, flip on the lights, but no, your electricity is a little behind. It's more expensive, and you only get it 6 hours a day. The rest of the time, yeah, you might or might not get it, or it might just dribble in so slowly that you're allowed, you could turn on like one light, or maybe run one load of, you know, something in the dishwasher, but You see what I'm saying? It's absurd if you put it in that picture. But that's what we have all said is okay with high-speed internet. I hope that changes. I hope it's made to be something that is considered valuable, important, and a leveling of the playing field. Every kid at home right now, no matter how much money their parents make, should have the same access to online schooling. Period. Period. You should have excellent access, not just so you can stream stuff faster on, you know, Netflix, but so that you can, you know, pay your bills online, so you can do all those things they're asking you to do online right now. So education needs to shift as well via high-speed internet, but more than that, colleges, right? Maybe they start to be reprioritized as well. More is being done online and they realize we can do this online. Maybe the cost of colleges needs to shift because, again, we're recognizing that it's a national resource to have a highly educated workforce and not an army of highly educated people who are highly in debt and not being hired. Colleges need to shift. They need to change. Work flexibility. You guys, we're standing on the edge of an incredible opportunity right now. Like all of these places that said you could never work from home, I know I've already said this before, but I know it, now are saying, please work from home. We'll make it happen somehow. And they are. Boom. Immediately. So now, check it out. Everybody actually knows what it's like to work at home. Companies know what it's like to send their workforce home. Employees know what it's like to work at home. Before it was kind of, well, we don't know, and only you're from upper management or you have a good boss. And it was a very perk-related thing. Now everybody knows, at least people who have those options. I'm not talking about you in retail, manufacturing, service, but those of you who can work from home are getting it. And what we're discovering is employees are realizing, oh my God, some people are really highly productive at home. This works. And some of them are realizing nobody is getting anything done. It doesn't work. And individually, some of us are realizing I am getting way more done working from home. I love it. Others of us are realizing I hate working from home. I'm going stir crazy. If I don't like get some interaction soon, I'm going to lose it. Right? So this is really good for us to know. Now, when we restructure this, it can be done with all of this knowledge and more flexibility. How cool is that? It's like a national test, and we're all doing it together. So you guys who don't have this option because you're like, I'm in a necessary company. You know what? I have to go in and, you know, repair people's phones. And I'm, you know, I've got to get into the shop and I've got to stand there and, you know, get these groceries out the door and restock them. Hey, I don't have that. Well, you know what's your realizing? I was reading about a bus driver the other day who said people are coughing in my face. As a result, unfortunately, he passed. But buses now are saying people have to enter through the back. The money thing, we're not dealing with that right now. Things are changing for those of you who are in public spaces. You go to the grocery store in our town soon, they're going to have those tall plastic dividers up now. Kind of like if you've ever been to Europe. U.S., we don't really know this, but in Europe, you go to a bank and there's a window, it's a wall of sheer thick plastic or glass. Tellers sit behind them and you slide your transactions back and forth and they have little speaking holes in there. It's to protect them, right, from robberies, etc. Well, it turns out there's also a health and safety thing for them. And everybody who works in public, we're going to be a lot more conscious about health and safety for you. And we should. So how can that change for us? What are the things that you want to ask for? Now is the time. Now's the time. Okay, here's another one. Thank you guys for staying with me, by the way. I hope this is triggering you to start thinking of, damn, you know, after this is over, even if only two or three of these things actually shifted and happened, how would that make you feel? Like, would it make you feel like, Whew, my society just got a lot better. I'm proud of this society. I'm proud of my fellow Americans, my fellow people in the world. I feel really like, dang, we did good. You know, all of those soldiers returning home from World War II, there were parades. There was a sense that we did this together. The men and women fighting did it, and everybody back home filling in the factories and shifting production and doing everything they could, not wearing nylons and drawing, you know, lines up the back of your legs. Bet some of you didn't even know that your grandparents did that because they wanted to look like they were wearing pantyhose back when everybody did. So they did that instead. It was so cute. But the feeling was national pride. National pride. I can't wait for us to go into that phase, and it is possible. It all depends on what you're asking for right now and what you're thinking right now and how you're especially voting right now. What you're asking for, what you expect, and what you're voting for. It is there. This opportunity is in your hand. Here's another one that I think is really fun, and then we're going to wrap this up. This is a fun one. Bigger, better screens. You're like, what does that mean? Okay, so there was this book called 1984. Remember, George Orwell? Didn't most of us get exposed to that book in school at some point? And it was about the society, supposedly in 1984. Now it's more like 2084 or something, where you were being government surveilled, which, by the way, is pretty much happening now anyway. But it was done through the screens that everybody had in their home that would turn on and stay on all day. And they monitored you, and they watched you, and they made sure you did not have a moment to think, do, or act in any other way than was approved. Well, that's really scared people off for a long time about having screens, and it still scares us, right? That's why we often put a piece of tape over the camera, you know, of our computer, because that's in our national psyche. But hey, maybe it's time to start rethinking this. What if you have a screen that becomes incredibly cheap, that's as big as a doorway, right? How cool would that be? It sits in your living room. It sits wherever. It's giant. It's cheap. It's fully connected to the internet. And when you want to make a phone call, you say, call mom. And there's mom, and she's sitting there, and you can see her sitting, and it's like you're sitting next to each other. And she's talking with you, and you're talking with her, and it's life size. This isn't VR. I mean, this isn't virtual reality. It's not a holodeck. It's not something that's super hard or expensive. This is actually doable right now. There's technology. We're all using Zoom. But what if you can do that and see your friends who are far away? What if you can do that with a concert? Oh my God, what if a band that you love? What if there's a theater group and you're like, gosh, I want to support them, but I can't go to see their play. Whoa, hold on. I'm going to just click in, buy my ticket. And now that play is happening right in front of me, life size in my living room. I am at a virtual play. I am one of their virtual audience. I am listening to the band. I am rocking out. I am hanging out with my mom. It's all there, life size. This is just called heightened interactivity. And it doesn't have to be expensive. And it doesn't have to be a $50,000 screen. We're already halfway there. When's it going to happen? Because that's going to change a lot for all of us. And it will make the fact that if we ever need to be staying in again like this, think about it. You're not going to be on a tiny little phone screen. You're not going to be squished up on your small little laptop trying to figure out how to do stuff on a 15-inch screen and talk to people and it's all fuzzy and wavy. Nah, man, we got this. That's going to be so cool. And there is a giant opportunity for that out there right now. Last thing I want to leave you with, guys. A lot of you are in financial panic and fear. You are worried about your cash flow. And like I mentioned at the very beginning, yes, remember, in May, I will be doing a cash flow recovery program with you. Practical work, practical advice, practical things, as well as energy, manifesting, co-creation, getting all of you on board. So you can come out of this faster and quicker every moment counts. But I want you to be thinking in the meantime. After this, we are going to be seeing a renaissance of small businesses and small companies. And I know what you're reading in the news right now is they're struggling to pay rent. I was just laid off. The restaurant is closed. The dry cleaner is closed because no one's dry cleaning their clothes because they're not going into work. Because why? They're all wearing house clothes now. Well, when we all come back out of this, imagine the moment when you drive out, you get out of your car, you're walking around the mall, the shopping center, half the businesses have closed. You think it's going to stay that way? Really, do you think it will stay that way? Or can you, like me, feel already the voracious national hunger that is going to spread through us that says, I want back out. I want people. I want fun. I want experiences. I've just been in my home going crazy for months. I want to be involved again. I want to feel it. And all of these people are going to knock, knock, knock at the landlord at the shopping mall and say, will you let me open a store here right now? I can't pay you for 2 months. But if this works out, I'm going to pay you whatever percent of this that I can. Interesting new deals are going to get worked out. And people are going to show up and they're going to say, I've never done this before. I've always wanted to do this. Will you let me? And for the first time, all across the country, you're going to have landlords scratching their heads and saying, it's better than nothing. First time all across the country, you are going to have some amazing skill set. Right? I'm looking right now, by the way, for someone who can teach my son, a young teenager, how to do stock trading. I'm looking for that person. I found a lot of programs online that teach older people, like adults, too difficult for him to understand. I found a lot of money management classes for kids that teach them how to budget their allowance. I haven't found anything built for the 13 to 16-year-old age range. That says, here's how you get started. Let's do this together. I'm looking for that creative entrepreneur right now who's going to be putting that out because that's part of the creative emergence that's going to be happening as we're all suddenly understanding I've got knowledge and I'm looking for a job right now. But in the meantime, maybe I should do this other thing. And you know what? That other thing that you're like, maybe I should do this other thing, might end up turning into your all-time for real thing. This is going to happen to you. More importantly, think about when it happens in mass, when it happens to 100,000 people in the U.S., 400,000 people, 1 million people, 5 million people across the world. This is a renaissance of small business, a renaissance of people stepping out and saying, gosh, all of those corporations that fired me in a heartbeat, who needs them? I've got this. See, now you can also tell one of my other biases, right? I am very much biased toward the small entrepreneur. I'm a liberal small capitalist. There you go. We're all our own interesting mix, but what I'm hoping and what I'm seeing is that everything I've offered is incredibly empowering for you. This is the glimmer of hope. Everything I've just told you would actually uplevel your life in some way, and we can make it happen. And we need to stop with the, it's going to be too expensive. It'll be too hard to implement. The other side will tell us no. We need to stop talking like that because what we're seeing right now is when the world has a will, they make it happen. They make it happen. We've never had people had to stay home like this. Nationally enforced quarantines and sheltering in place. But we're making it happen. Why? For all of us. We can make these other things happen too. I mean, I'm just so excited just talking about this. I mean, this puts me in a good mood for the rest of the day, and I'm no longer thinking fearful thoughts. I don't want you thinking fearful thoughts. There's plenty of those to go around. Think like this. What would you add to my list? What haven't I thought of? What do you want someone else to hear? I would love to hear from you. Add it to the list. Go to Facebook. I have a group called I Love Flow Dreaming. Look for it. I will add you. And once you get there, say, I'm referring to podcast number 630, Glimmers of Light. Here's what I want to add to the list. I'd love it. Let's get talking. Okay, you guys, no flow dream today, but of course I will be throwing them in the coming weeks as we explore more practical topics like this. But to me, these are so, so, so big and so important, and how you're thinking and what you're expecting right now is so incredibly just everything that I have to devote some time to this. So I love you guys. Stay well, stay healthy, and I'll see you all next time for another episode of Flow Dreaming. Hey friends, quick note about the Powerful Immunity and Protection playlist. I made this to help you right now with your health, to support your immunity. It's to help you manage your mind, manage your emotions, manage your fear, and also encourage the ancient cellular wisdom of your body. Believe me, your body. Thousands of generations of humans came before you. It has an innate wisdom that is off the charts. And I'd love to see you start talking with it. I'd love to see you start asking for its help, supporting it, and just giving it an overflow of your beautiful, gorgeous, strong, positive emotion. Getting into flow with your immune system, both physically and emotionally. So check it out, the Powerful Immunity and Protection playlist. You can find it right now at flowdreaming.com. You can also find it via the app. If you don't have the Flow Dreaming app, just open up your mobile device and go to your app store and download it. And you'll find it right there in the health section. Blessings to you all, and stay well.